Welcome to worship at Washington Park United Methodist Church this morning. We do welcome you wherever you are to our virtual worship. We've been listening to some of your comments over the last couple of weeks, so we've made a few changes trying to upgrade some of the ways that we're doing our virtual worship. So we'll continue to listen to you, but thank you for your grace and your patience as technology is great until it's not. But a special thank you to Steve Bondi, our music director, for bringing out some extra equipment today. Our other helpers here in the room are Sonia Clark, our accompanist. We have Reverend Jamie Lee behind the camera and Jordan Zitterkopf helping as well with tech needs and me. So we welcome you to worship today. A few things to remember as we get started with our worship. We do rely on your giving to continue to pay our bills here in this place, even if we cannot gather. So there are several ways that you can give and maybe kind of think about what you want to do during our offering time in our worship. So you can go online to our website, www.washparkumc.org, and give there. You can text to give, actually, if you just text GIVE, G-I-V-E, to 720-730-5151. I'll say it one more time, 720-730-5151. That information is also in our emails that we've been sending out Mondays and Thursdays. And then another option is via Venmo. If you have Venmo, you can Venmo money to this account, Michelle-Hoskins-17. Again, Michelle-Hoskins, H-O-S-K-I-N-S-17. It sounds like that's going to go to Michelle Hoskins, but it's not. It's connected to our church account, bank account, and so that's where the money goes. So thank you for continuing to give generously in this time. I wanted to make sure that you know that our bishop, Karen Olivito, has suggested or actually asked all churches in the Mountain Sky Conference not to have in-person worship until at least May 1st. So that means that we are definitely going forward with virtual plans for Palm Sunday and Easter. So a couple of things, since next week is Palm Sunday, we invite you to create your own palm at home with whatever materials you have, and then once you make your palm, to take a picture of it with yourself and send it to me at my email, pastor@washparkumc.org, by this coming Friday, April the 3rd. And those pictures will be put together to create a palm parade for us. I'll make sure to post on Facebook, and it's included in our Monday and Thursday emails, a video of how to make your own palm, or you can always just look up any DIY make your own palm leaf video online. Also, next week will be Communion Sunday, and we'll have to do things very differently. So I invite you, in preparation for next Sunday, to make sure that you have on hand some bread, something to drink, so that we can use those as your elements for communion next week. As always, make sure you check out our website, washparkumc.org, for other updates, and check out our Monday and Wednesday emails. For now, we welcome you to worship. And as we go to our first hymn, you're going to know the tune, but the words are new, just written about a week ago by R.G. Huff. We invite you to sing with us a hymn for streamed worship.
Now is the time in our worship where we join together over the distance, over the miles, and share what is resting in our hearts today. As you may or may not know, we are not sharing joys or concerns publicly at this time to protect your privacy, but we do want to make sure that we lift up one group in particular in our society today, our healthcare workers. We lift them up, we pray for them, we give thanks for them joyfully, and we hold them as concerns in our hearts for their health and safety. Let us take a moment to lift up the healthcare workers that we know and the ones that we don't in our hearts. If you are with others right now and you would like to share your joys or concerns aloud, or if you would just like to air what is resting in your heart aloud to some open space, I would like to offer you the time to do that now as well. Share what is in your hearts with your family, with your pets, with the sacred walls of your home. If you have anything that you would like to share with your church community via our Thursday email or just with your pastors, please feel free to let us know via email or by the prayer card, which you can do electronically. And you can find that prayer card on our website, www.washparkumc.org. There's a prayer card there, and be sure if you email or send us an electronic prayer card that you let us know how you would like that information shared. At this time, I would invite you to join me in our hymn of prayer. Please join me in our unison prayer of confession. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And hear this good news, that our Lord Jesus Christ offers us the chance to begin again and again and again. Creator God, we come to you wondering, searching for answers, for concrete news, for something we can hold on to in a time of uncertainty and doubt. Deliver us from this need for certainty. Deliver us from the opportunity to fear, to worry, and to doubt. May we share with one another the certainty that you are with us, surrounding us, and ever beside us. We pray all of these things in the name of your Son who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, kiddos, and welcome to our children's time. I don't know what you've been doing with your time at home, but some of my time at home I've been using to really clean my house and go through a lot of things. And yesterday I was going through some stuff and I found some pictures. Actually, I forgot to bring them today. I'm really upset, but I found a picture of my granddaddy and a picture of my grandmother. And this is one that's been in my office. I've showed it to you before, but just a picture of my grandmother. And when I found those, it made me feel a lot of things. One, I felt so happy to see their faces, and it made me remember a lot of good times we had together. But on the other hand, it kind of made me sad too. My grandparents aren't around anymore, and I don't get to see them, but I think about them a lot. And as I was going through other stuff, I remembered or realized that there are things in my house that I have that belonged to my grandmother and my granddaddy. A few things that they had in their house. I actually have a measuring cup that used to be my grandmother's, and so when I'm cooking, which is not very often, but when I'm cooking, I use that measuring cup sometimes, and it makes me remember my grandmother and my granddaddy. Today in our scripture, you'll hear a story about Jesus, and it's a story of him having dinner with his disciples, and then he takes the bread, and he says, "This bread is my body, and when you break bread and eat bread, remember me." And then he takes a cup, and he says, "This is my cup of a new covenant. It's poured out for you and for many, and every time you drink it, remember me." Now, the disciples, his friends, didn't necessarily know that Jesus was going to die, or that they wouldn't see him again, or that they wouldn't have dinner with him again. But Jesus knew, and Jesus wanted to make sure there were some things that would help the disciples remember him. Jesus knew that there would be a time when the disciples were sad and missed him, but that also the disciples would remember Jesus and be happy to remember him and to think about all the great memories they made together. Next week, we're gonna have communion together. It'll be a little bit different. You'll be in your home and you'll have your own bread and your own cup. But those are the things that Jesus gives us to remember him, to know that we're happy in our hearts to have known Jesus. Sad sometimes that Jesus isn't here, but know that we remember Jesus together with all the other Christians. So if you're going through your house and there are some things like a picture or some other things that help remind you of somebody you love, remember that's exactly what communion is all about, bread and cup, helping us remember Jesus. So let's say a prayer. I invite you to take your hands. You can put them together, fold them together. You can even hold them out like this if you want. And repeat after me. Dear God, thank you for this day.
Thank you for this day.
And help us to grow in you.
And help us to grow in you.
In every single way.
In every single way.
Amen. Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke. I read from the 22nd chapter. When the hour came, he took his place at the table and the apostles with him. He said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, for I tell you, I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he said, "Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." Then he took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, "This is my cup that is poured out for you. It is the new covenant in my blood. But see, the one who betrays me is with me, and his hand is on the table. For the Son of Man is going as it has been determined, but woe to that one by whom he is betrayed." Then they began to ask one another which one of them it could be who would do this. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Will you pray with me? Holy One, send your spirit upon us, that as your scripture has been read and your word is proclaimed, we may hear with joy what it is you have to say to us this day. Amen. I think one of the great blessings of this time is the way that it brings out creativity in people. I'm meaning specifically on social media and the creation of memes. I hope everybody knows what a meme is. If you don't, Google it real quick. It's a picture with a little writing, a saying or a comment or something that kind of reflects where we are in our world. So I saw a meme this week that had a picture very similar to this picture up here. You may not be able to see it very well, but this picture here is one of Jesus with the disciples at the Last Supper. So the meme I saw had a picture very similar to this, and on the picture it had a quote by Jesus. "One of you will betray me. One of you will deny me. And one more of you have to leave because the CDC says we can't have more than 10 people here." Thank you. Yes, I know. I'll be here next week at the same time. I just thought that was funny and appropriate for our day today. When I was a little girl, elementary school age, I spent a week every summer at Methodist Church Camp. I have some really wonderful and formative experiences and memories from that time. I remember meeting new friends. I remember feeling like sisters with my cabin mates. There were horses, and there was archery, and there was hiking, and there was swimming, and there were church services and campfires and sing-alongs and all the junk food you could ever pay for with the money that you brought at the concession stand. And I loved almost every minute of camp. But there was one place that filled me with dread every time we had to go there. It was the cafeteria. Now, it's not that the food was bad. Maybe it was bad. I don't really remember. It was the idea that there was a tradition that people loved, called keep your elbows off the table. I have no idea why this particular piece of etiquette was the only piece of etiquette that made it into the mess hall at church camp, but it did. You were warned not to do it. Don't put those elbows on the table. You knew what would happen if you did. The counselors patrolled the room like prison guards, watching for any offending elbow. And when they found one, get your elbows off the table, Sandy. Get your elbows off the table, Sandy. Get your elbows off the table just as soon as you are able. Get your elbows off the table, Sandy. And everybody would laugh, and it was hilarious, and it wasn't just a fun song. It was sung in this, like, ridiculous, ridiculing, sing-songy way. Get your elbows off the table, Sandy. And then after the singing of the song, your punishment was given. So maybe you had to skip around the whole cafeteria or walk backwards around the cafeteria and recite all the books of the Bible. Or maybe you had to stand in front of everyone and sing a solo. Whatever the punishment was, it was designed to make you feel embarrassed. Now I, as a little girl, and mostly now still, hated drawing attention to myself. I tried so hard to be a good girl and never put my elbows on the table, but I accidentally did, and more than once. I completely understand now as an adult that there were probably most of the children in the room that thought this was just a fun and a funny game, something to spice up dinner time, but not me. I saw it as a proclamation that I had messed up, that I was a negative influence on others, that I was betrayed by my own bad manners. And every time I felt so deeply ashamed by a silly, silly game. Now, our scripture today brings us to an idyllic scene. It's Jesus gathering together with his disciples, his apostles, for a meal. The scripture says that he had been so looking forward to this time with his disciples. It was so important for him to have this sacred time with them, to fellowship, to break bread, share cup with one another. It was an important time. And yet he knew that there was division among the disciples. He knew there was trouble brewing. He knew that there was someone among them around that table that was going to betray him, someone whose hand was on the table. Elbow. Now, when Jesus mentions this, that somebody around the table is going to betray him, the disciples immediately start to turn to one another and try to figure out, who is this? Who would do this? Who is the bad one among us? Who could possibly do such a thing? Who should we call out and humiliate and punish? I suppose it's human nature to look at others as the source of the negative, the doer of the bad thing. It does feel good somewhat to be able to point to someone else as the perpetrator. And as a side effect, it kind of solidifies your place on the side of righteousness. Yesterday was Washington Park United Methodist Church's day to hand out sandwiches at Civic Center Park. Now, just as a little caveat, we as leaders in the church have been intentionally quiet about hands-on service opportunities in this time of social distancing. It is a time of isolation and quarantine, and I know that you are desperately wanting to help. But our leadership has really tried to narrow down the number of people involved in some of our projects in order to narrow down the risk of passing along any virus. It's very counter to what this whole Lenten experience was supposed to be like, hands-on service opportunities, but we've had to change that according to our situation and figure out new ways of being. So, I mean, this might be right or it might be wrong, but it's the approach that we've taken with the thought that the biggest act of service that any one of us can take right now is to stay home. It's hard for us, though. I know so many of you have asked me about ways that you can help. In fact, we've been trying to offer help to our congregation. You're the ones that are like, no, we want to help. And beyond staying at home, my biggest suggestions in this time have been pray prayers and give donations. And that's kind of been the track that we've taken at this time. So in the spirit of this idea that we really want to listen to our leaders and to health professionals and limit exposure in our city, Jamie Lee and Jordan made all of the sandwiches and put together all the lunches for yesterday. They did this with full gear on, masks and gloves. And then yesterday, John, our operations manager, and I took those lunches to the park. There were a couple of people from After Hours there. After Hours is the church and organization that makes sure the lunches in the park happen every day. And they welcomed our help, and they helped us gear up with gloves and such. And they tried out a new method of social distancing, so the volunteers were kind of on this side of a table, and we had a 6-foot table, and then the people who were coming to get lunches and water bottles were on the other side, so we just kind of put a water bottle out, and they'd come and take it, and then we put another one out or a lunch. It actually seemed to work really well, trying to offer some semblance of social distancing in a strange time. I have to say, though, when I was leaving my house, there was a bit of a smugness in me. I had not left my house in many days, probably like many of you. I knew that After Hours lunch distribution had been identified as an essential service, so we even had a little thing that we could print off and put in our car or carry around to show people, I'm of essential service today. So I anticipated there not being very much traffic on the way over. And I was absolutely floored by the number of cars, the traffic, the number of groups of people that I saw out walking together. Now, I want to offer a little grace to say maybe it was the time of day that I was getting out, and it just happened to be a high point for people getting out of the house. And maybe the people that were walking in big groups were all from the same household. But I have to say that I kind of assumed that people were just ignoring the social stay-at-home and distancing order and I felt disappointed and very judgy. Now, at the park, our friends without homes were really struggling. I mean, if you think anxiety is high for those of us with a place to be, with a shelter to go to, emotions were hot with our friends in the park in a way I've never seen from volunteering there for many years. There were several fights breaking out. Nothing got super physical except for kind of throwing some bags at people, but nothing ever actually connected. There was a lot of yelling. There was a ton of cussing. There was even some spitting, which was interesting. Someone in our volunteer group finally called the police, and then that set some other people up off. They were yelling at him to get off the phone and threatening him. It was a really intense time. But truthfully, even though I was pretty much the only woman there, I never felt in danger. Because while all of this was going on kind of around the line of people waiting for the bell tower to strike 12 noon and for us to start the line and start to serve, the line itself, the people in the line, they kind of have their own code. They've been doing this for years. And they know that there's a standard of behavior. They did not like any of those people that were jeopardizing the integrity of this lunch mission. Those that got too mad in the line were told to get out of the line by the other people in the line. They kept saying, come on, you're going to ruin it for the rest of us. That line was powerful. The come on, you're going to ruin it for the rest of us wasn't scathing or ridiculing. It was simply a come on, let's stay in line and we can all have lunch. When Jesus said to his disciples that he was going to be betrayed, the disciples started looking at each other, hoping for someone to blame. But Jesus was just stating a fact. He wasn't calling someone out. He didn't point at Judas and say, he's the bad one. He knew the reality was that anybody at the table could be the betrayer. He knew that we all have our moments. You know, after the park yesterday, I did some non-essential things. I came to church for a few hours. I didn't have to. I went to the store, and I probably spent more time there than I really needed just to be out of the house. None of us are beyond reproach in some of this time. And at the same time, when I turn on the news or sometimes look onto social media, there always seems to be somebody pointing their finger at others saying, you're the problem. You're the one that got us in this mess. Stay the expletive home. Now, in Matthew's gospel telling of this same story, the disciples actually turn to Jesus and say, surely it's not I, Lord, right? It's not me that's going to betray you. It's someone else, not me. It's not me, surely not I, Lord. But Jesus doesn't condemn. Jesus doesn't shame or punish. He simply spreads the table with a meal of grace, offered for those who will eventually betray him and deny him. And in his astonishingly redemptive way, Jesus forgives. So today, just do the best you can. Breathe deep, as long as you're 6 feet away from every other person in the area. In this time when there's a lot of rules and regulations and do this, don't do that, you're going to mess up. So am I. But we can rest in the assurance of the fact that Jesus offers love, offers grace, offers forgiveness. So I invite you to take it. Drink deep of it and start over again. There's always a new day. I pray these have been the words of the Lord for us this day. Amen. I invite you to pray with me our offering prayer. God, in response to the love you have given to us, we offer here what we have, what we do, and even more who we are, for the sake of all people. Amen.
Thank you.
And now, wherever you are, I invite us to connect with our hearts, even though we cannot connect with our hands. And know that as you go from this worship, that I give you this blessing. May the love of God, the grace and peace of Jesus the Christ, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you and those you love, now and forever. Amen.